You know, I'm right. The podcast that uncovers the origin stories of some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, and so much more. Nick Durst here, along with Joe Calabrese. And Joe, it's a new year, but same things for us here with the podcast. Stars after stars after stars, and now a few people in the wrestling world continuing to join us on this great program.
Yeah, we have somebody with an extensive background in digital media. Somebody has worked for both Impact and WWE, and she's an entrepreneur, right? So we get to talk to her about her business. If you're watching on YouTube, you could see the name of her business in the back, headline by MM. But we welcome Mackenzie Mitchell to the program. Mackenzie, how are you doing today? And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I'm great. How are you guys?
Well, we're doing great, especially when we get to speak with a great guest like yourself. And we're excited to have you on the program with us and take a walk down memory lane with you throughout your life and your career. So let's turn it back to college, University of
Let's do it.
Mississippi, studying broadcast journalism. When did you decide you wanted to attend school there? And going in, did you know, okay, this is it, I want to pursue a career in broadcasting? Or what period in time during school did you decide, all right, let me start getting my reels together and whatnot and pursue this career?
So I grew up in Missouri, and I knew I wanted to go to school in the South. I didn't know what school exactly. I attended University of Mississippi. I visited for the first time when I was probably a junior in high school and automatically loved it. I also toured Alabama, which I know is a strong rivalry for Ole Miss. And I loved Alabama, but it was just too big. I'm from a very, very small town, maybe 7,000 people, three stoplights. I'm talking like Wendy's closed down. It's very small. So for me, Oxford felt like home for Ole Miss. It was big, but it was small at the same time. The campus is beautiful. The people are great. So I knew I wanted to go to Ole Miss. And then when I originally was signing up and enrolling to go to college, I thought I wanted to do geriatric physical therapy. I was shadowing some people in my hometown, thought it was really cool. I've always loved hearing stories from elder people. And that's what I thought I wanted to do. Well, I realized that math and science is not my strong suit, so did my first two classes and was like, I have no idea how to do any of this stuff. I'm going to be like head in the books for the entirety of my college career. I don't want to do that. So I'm like, let me just figure out what I can do. Well, I was really good at doing like writing and reading and stuff in journalism. So I took my first journalism class, and my instructor at the time said, you don't know this, but you're a natural journalist. You really just captivate an audience. And when you're able to stand up and deliver news, people listen. So I thought, well, I've always loved being in the spotlight. I've always loved modeling and being on camera. And so for me, it just made sense. I just transitioned to journalism then and was really lucky that I got a job with the university as the primary MC from probably 2012 to 2016. So I got some really good real life experience right before I got out of college. So that was really awesome to have that experience before I even transitioned to the real world.
Yeah, and you got to see big SEC football games and go to tailgates and all that
Oh,
kind of
for
stuff.
sure. I was sidelined when we tore down the goalpost, and then the goalpost was like, I don't know, through the square and through the city because we beat Alabama. That was a big deal. People were jumping over the fences. It was very insane. They told us when we were sidelined, they said, watch out. They are coming over. And they all the students, the fans, they just jumped right on over, and the goalpost was down.
So how hard was it getting that first job out of college? And what else did you do on campus in terms of finding an internship and doing stuff like that?
So for me, I really lucked out. When I was finishing up school and I was graduating, trying to get my first job, I had a meeting with the athletic director at the time at Ole Miss. And I was very familiar with a lot of the staff and executives and the athletic teams and coaches and stuff there because I had worked with them for 4 years. So they were familiar and they trusted me. So when I had the meeting, Ross Bjork was his name at the time. So he said, he goes, so what do you want to do? And I'm like, well, I don't know. I want to move to Nashville. I want to work in sports, entertainment, or music. I just don't know what that is exactly. And he goes, what about professional wrestling? I said, are you kidding? Like, are you for real? And he said, yeah, we've got a We got a job with Impact Wrestling that could be really cool for you. It's out of Nashville. I'll set you up some meetings and we'll see if it works. Well, they wanted to hire me before I even graduated. And I'm like, hold on, pump the brakes. I want to graduate first, get my cap and gown, then I'll move to Nashville and start my career. So I was really lucky to have that experience. I know a lot of people, especially in the broadcast world, don't have that experience. But for me, it all kind of fell into place.
Yeah, worked out for you, of course, but, you know, definitely obviously a grind in college and stuff to get there. Tell us about your first taste of TV, though, working as an assistant for America's Got Talent and the Country Music Channel Awards.
So I was helping on the production side of things. Outside of my work on camera, I like to kind of help with production. And I think it's all encompassing. When you're in entertainment, you're in television, you need to learn, or not need, but it's very valuable to learn all the assets and all the facets behind production and behind what goes behind the scenes for lighting. And in today's society, everyone's an influencer. Everyone can pull up their phone and press go live and everyone can record. So I think the more knowledge you have in that, the better in all facets. So for me, getting to do some production assistant work, being at the Bridgestone Arena for the CMA Awards and getting to be like a talent or seat filler, as they call it. I was sitting beside Carrie Underwood and then Nicole Kidman's beside me. And so that is just, of course, we didn't get to form actual conversations. I would love to have that have been a networking type of conversation there, but didn't happen. But I think all of those jobs and little things that I did help in the long run for an overall broadcast career.
And my mom is a cosmetologist, so she knows us very, very well. I also have a cousin who's a makeup artist. He worked as a makeup artist for Benefit Cosmetics and is a leasing agent, right? So walk us through those jobs and what you did.
Well, I worked with Benefit almost kind of as an associate when I would go to different Sephora's and Ulta's and discuss the brand and kind of in all jobs and everything I've done, it's almost like being a spokesperson has become my role. So with Benefit, the makeup and the cosmetology world really just comes easy to me. My mom's a makeup artist, so it's always just something that's second nature. So when I was able to do that with Benefit Cosmetics, I was going in and really discussing with clients and customers what would work for them and why. So style and fashion and cosmetology and all of that has kind of played a big role also in my career. I think a lot of people don't realize when you're on camera, you're styling yourself for the most part. And sometimes you're doing your own makeup. Like today, I don't have a makeup artist that comes to my house and does my stuff all the time. So it's a really valuable skill to have to be able to put yourself together for any job situation or in any environment.
Well, obviously hair and makeup, a big part of your career.
You guys understand, I'm sure, yeah. Right?
Yeah, I got my hair covered up right now. You know, I understand. I have to wear some makeup sometimes, but you gave us some breaking news before the show, a bit of a scoop here, but the blonde hair, your signature blonde hair, Mackenzie, might be no more.
I'm going to go blonde, if you will. So I'm naturally, obviously, that's no secret that I'm not naturally blonde. So I'm going to go a little bit darker and see what that world's all about. I'm excited to see what that brings, what new gigs and new exciting opportunities.
We'll see. Will we be in lookout and see what happens? But, and if you're watching this is the last time you'll be seeing Mackenzie do any sort of interview or press for a long time with the blonde hair. So we'll see what happens there for sure. But so you mentioned it before, how everything worked out with you for Impact, but everything really tied together for you because you did the behind the scenes stuff. You did the on camera stuff in college, and then you're joining Impact. You're doing a bunch of different roles. You talked about the brand ambassador stuff with the cosmetics. So you're working on network and partnership deals. You're doing digital and social media, and of course you're on air and you're a producer. So how was it balancing all those different hats there? And how did you feel that you grew professionally there? When did you think you found your groove? You were there for a number of years, but when did you just feel like, all right, this is it. I belong. This is what I should be doing.
At Impact Wrestling?
Yes.
Yes. I think I didn't watch a day of wrestling before I started my career with Impact Wrestling. I was coming right out of college. I didn't watch as a fan. When I was younger, I just kind of jumped in head first and was like, this is a cool opportunity. Not a lot of people get this right out of college. So let's take it. And I knew I knew how to do all the stuff in, you know, on camera and hosting to an audience. But when you're talking professional wrestling, it's a completely different skill. It's a lot of that adapt. I said this, I can never say this word, being adaptable. There we go. It's a lot of being adaptable and being able to take the environment and learn and kind of get that real life experience and dive in head first. So I was a little bit of like a Jill of all trades, if you will, for Impact. So I was writing articles on the website. I was doing social media for the Instagram. I was live tweeting on a weekly basis. I was also on camera. So I was just kind of taking it as it came, but also I love being busy. I think that's why I started a business as an entrepreneur, because I love to fill my time with things that are productive. So it allows the time to go by faster, especially if we're at tapings. But I was kind of all inclusive and just whatever I needed to do, I was jumping in and filling that role at the time.
And how was it living in Nashville, where you said you wanted?
Oh, fantastic. Oh my gosh. I don't know if you've ever been to Nashville or where you guys are right now, but my husband and I have always talked about going back to Nashville. I didn't realize how much I missed it until I moved away. And I was in LA for about a year and a half after Nashville and moved to Connecticut. And now I'm down in Florida, but there's nothing that compares to Nashville. It's just such a unique and fun city.
Yeah, Joe was in Nashville. We had Scott Hamilton, the figure skater Olympian. He was on with us the week of SummerSlam, and he said he was going. And then 24 hours later, Joe flew down there to sit with Scott Hamilton at ringside, and Joe got to experience Nashville, and he says it was a good time. So I'll take both of your words.
Love to go back. Love.
Yeah, it's great. The live music, the people, the hospitality, like it's just unmatched.
Unmatched, unrivaled. So obviously then join NXT. What was that process like to either audition with them or get recruited by them? And what was it like, you know, like you said, picking up and having to move first to Connecticut and then down to Orlando?
Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, I applied for my job online. I went to wwecareers.com and applied for my job. I'd been working with Impact for 4 years. And so I thought, oh, I just probably, I don't know, I could send my resume reel and a little bit about me. Wrestling's small, so everybody kind of knows each other. So I thought, I don't know, maybe I'll be connected. But I thought there's no harm in just applying online. So I typed in wwecareers.com and then found that they were looking for a digital broadcaster out of Connecticut. I applied. I got a couple callbacks when we were doing my interview over the phone. They said, do you know anything about wrestling? I'm like, well, did you see my resume? Yeah, I absolutely do. And so that was kind of fun to merge those waters and to kind of figure out how that went. But yeah, I moved from LA at the time to Connecticut to work in the offices for the digital side of things. I was doing WWE Now, which is kind of like a weekly show. It's on Mondays and Fridays and breaks down what you're going to see that night on either Raw or SmackDown. So I was doing that immediately. The Bump also launched at the same time that I came in. So I was doing some stuff like some breaking news and going in and filling in as a co-host or whatever for the Bump. And then I got the call to go to NXT. And I always wanted to do television. That's kind of been my bread and butter. So I was able to go right to NXT, go right to TV. I went in a very unique time because it was the start of COVID. So my first episode on NXT, I ended up staying for 3 months because they were like, well, don't fly back to New York. Don't fly back to Connecticut. So I just paid for a really expensive storage unit up in Connecticut that was my apartment, but I wasn't able to go back. So about 3 months down here in Florida, I called my boss and said, why don't I just move down? It makes sense. If I'm going to have this role at NXT, why not just be here and have all my stuff? So then I moved down in the middle of the pandemic, drove a U-Haul with my car attached to the back through like George Washington Bridge, through New York, all the way down to Florida.
George Washington Bridge is brutal,
right?
New York's the worst.
I'm like white knuckles on the U-Haul, like, yeah. Come on, you can do this. But yeah, so then I was with NXT for 4 years. And so it's been a crazy ride.
All right. So the big thing with NXT, obviously, you meet your husband, Vic. So how did that relationship form? Who made the first move as far as asking the other one out on a date?
He did. We met at my first event to go as an employee behind the scenes and go like backstage and stuff, I was working still in Connecticut at the time. He was calling Monday Night Raw. I went to a Raw event, and we ended up like meeting each other backstage, and I just knew there was something different about him. I didn't know what it was. And little did I know he was missing meetings to try to talk to me. And I'm like, dude, why? I'm available. Why didn't you just like meet me in catering or send me a DM, which he ended up doing later on, was sending me a DM. And then we went on our first date a month later, and the rest was history. So WWE brought me my husband, and I'm really thankful for that.
So Vic, our first sight. Vic, obviously a huge, huge Browns fan. You had ties with the Ravens. You were digital media manager for Ravens Fangirl. You're in from, you know, Chiefs County or Rams country. So what was it like having to really be converted and become a big Browns fan?
Gosh, well, I hear about football just about as much as he breathes. Like every conversation is about football and the Browns and the underdog story. Him, Johnny Gargano, The Miz, like they're like lifers. It's like Browns football or death. Like they love it. For me, I've really never had a fandom of really like any sports team. I've just kind of been, sure, I'll go to a Rams game or I'll go to a Chiefs game or whatever. But the Browns fandom is like another level of fandom. So I'm kind of an adopted fan, I like to call myself. And we'll watch games with the Garganos. I'm not sure if you're familiar, but Johnny Gargano and his wife, Candice LeRae. So we switch off and on where we'll go to their house, they'll go to ours. And then they have a little baby named Quill. And so Candice and I will hang out with Quill and have a drink and make some food. And the guys just like, I don't know if you know, but Vic plays for the team, actually. Like, not really, but they're watching the television down on their knees. It's a very serious situation. They're pacing. So it's a fun environment. I love to get to go to the games with him and be sidelined and all of that. So that's cool.
Well, as of this recording, the Browns are playing this weekend. This is coming out on Wednesday. The Browns have already played. Is there plans right now for Vic to be traveling with the Browns as the playoffs progress? I would assume if they make it to the Super Bowl, you're going to be there no matter what.
Well, I think we're actually planning to be in Vegas for the Super Bowl weekend. Okay. So we're already going to be there. So can you imagine if the Browns go to the Super Bowl and we're already there? I think my husband would lose his mind.
A big suite with you, the Garganos, the Mizanins. I mean, that's going to be,
it'd be great.
Some wild stuff in Las Vegas for sure. So NXT, I mean, I think you guys had a great husband and wife. You could drive to work. You don't got to fly all around. That's my personal opinion. But I mean, Vic really has changed up the game. He's so stylish. I'm wondering, do you pick out his outfits?
Thank you. Thank you. Absolutely. It is me. It is me behind the outfits. If you see, like last week, I did not help him style and he came home. Well, first of all, I'm watching the TV and I'm like, why did he put that jacket with that shirt? His sister was in town. She's like, I knew it. I told him. And he said, I'm on TV, Gina, not you. And so I'm like, okay, yes. I style him basically on a weekly basis. when we went to NXT 2.0, we kind of changed up our look a little bit. So we went from black and gold to NXT 2.0, a little bit more modern. It went from more like suits to kind of like leather jackets and denim and all that stuff. And so, yes, I help him choose his outfits on a weekly basis. That's kind of my passion. One of my passions is style and fashion. So it's really fun. He's like my own personal Ken doll.
All right. So you talked about it before, like hair and makeup, it's a big thing, your outfit. So just curious for you, like what's your, you know, we'll say your game day process as far as when you were doing Impact or you were tapings or NXT, are you showing up in what you're going to wear? You know, are you coming in, your hair's up, you're getting your hair done after? What's your whole process there to get ready to be on camera?
So going on camera, I would just show up in what I was wearing. I'm very a last minute planner when it comes to what I'm wearing. I've always tried to plan in advance and it just never works out because I kind of, whatever I want to wear that day and my feeling and my emotions, that's kind of how I match my style. So I would pick my outfits and whatever I had in my closet and then be able to go to TV, get my hair and makeup done. And then from there on out, it was whatever they needed me for TV that day.
All right. And what was your go-to snack or meal in catering?
Oh gosh. Well, I don't eat healthy. That's for sure. My friends, like Chelsea Green is my best friend. She mentions all the time, like, I don't know how you do it, but you can eat Chick-fil-A every day and it doesn't catch up to you. And I'm like, well, it will, I think, at some point, but for right now, I'm going to keep doing it. I love McDonald's. I love Chick-fil-A. We were typically on Tuesdays doing post-show Taco Bell. And so it's kind of been like a favorite that we've just like established. So still Vic will come home with Taco Bell on Tuesdays because it's just something we've established. But I love Celsius. I'm a big Celsius person. So an energy drink to keep the energy throughout
That's
the day
music to Joe's kind ears. Of a for he's sure. Like, he's got energy drinks flowing through his veins.
I feel
like I'm guilty. Me too. I feel the same way. Honestly, right now I have a ghost right here. So
wow.
How about that?
I know.
They're pretty good, the ghosts.
I've heard that ghosts are more marketed towards men. Like Celsius, yeah. Somebody told me that Celsius was more like a feminine energy drink,
Celsius
but a ghost is more
to
towards men.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm just a monster guy. I've been a monster guy since I was in high school, and it's terrible. It's like that one vice, you know, it's like, you know, that one person is like, oh, I'm going to quit smoking. Yeah, I'm going to stop drinking energy drinks, and you just don't do it. Right.
I'm with you. I feel that on another level.
Everybody has a vice. Also, when it comes to the Chick-fil-A, I have a little cousin who's a hockey player, plays in Florida, but he's so in shape and he eats Chick-fil-A literally every single day. I can't figure it out.
I don't know. It's working for me as well right now. I just don't know. It's a favorite. It's also like I could walk to Chick-fil-A from my house. So it's a very dangerous situation.
It is very, very dangerous. We didn't have one for the longest time here in New York, and then they put a couple where we are. So
lucky you guys.
Right? Okay, let's get back on track. Let's talk about the things that are coming up next for you, because recently you were released from NXT. Nick and I, we have connections to former announcers and former people who have worked for the company, have gone through NXT, people like Greg Hamilton, people like our dear friend Adnan Burke, who we always talk about here, one of the brief voices of Monday Night Raw. Hopefully Vic could get back there. But in terms of what's next for you, would you guys potentially start a podcast together, or do you have anything like that coming up in the future? Maybe starting your own podcast, your own video show, or something like that?
Absolutely. So Vic and I had talked about that actually right before the release, ironically, that we wanted to do something fun. We wanted to do a show. At the time, we were both the voices almost of NXT, where I'm backstage, you're hearing him throughout the show. So it just really made sense. So we kind of discussed that behind the scenes a little bit, and then the release happened. So never say never on that, because we'd love to do something. It's always fun to get to work with your husband. I've never been on camera with my husband, so I don't even know what that dynamic would look like. It's very different when you're on camera with someone versus behind the scenes. Yeah. And we don't talk about wrestling all the time. So I'd love to see how that would feel one day. But I'm also doing my own thing. I haven't completely announced it yet. I'm looking to launch my first episode on February 1. Fingers crossed that all goes really well. You saw it on my social media. I filmed with Matt Cardona last week. And then this will come out on Wednesday. I am filming with Mandy Rose next week. So I'm really excited for that.
Big stars right out of the gate.
Well, they're my friends, and that's the beauty about professional wrestling is Mandy and I, like, people from the beginning always said, you look like Mandy Rose, and so she and I had some really fun moments on NXT when she was with Toxic Attraction, so I'm really
excited
for that.
You're going brunette.
I know, and so I'm really excited to talk to her and get to talk about some moments and reminisce a little bit, and then with Matt, like, we've known each other for years. He's my best friend's husband. And so he's really taken his career in such a different direction since WWE. He did some really cool things there, but he's also been able to evolve with the times, and it's so unique. So we told some stories that have never been told. So I'm really excited to see what everybody thinks about what the episodes are going to be when they launch.
Awesome. And at the top, we discussed Headline by MM. You got the logo in the back over there. So talk to us about where our listeners, our viewers can find it, what you guys sell, and other business ventures that you guys got going on.
Sure. So Headline by MM was a dream that became a reality. My family's been in fine jewelry for 75 years. So I always knew I wanted to do something with jewelry. I just didn't know what it was. So for 2 years, I had the idea to kind of be able to connect to my family while I'm in Florida, they're in Missouri, and design my own pieces. I think I mentioned it earlier, but I don't know if people realize that on a weekly basis for when you're on WWE television, you're on professional wrestling, you're styling yourself. So every week I was coming up with new looks. And so there were some things that I was styling and I'm like, man, this would be really cool if I had this element or I could put this necklace with it or I had jewelry that looked this way. And so I finally just pulled the trigger in June of last year and went ahead and said, let's just, if not now, when? So I made the brand, started designing all of my pieces. I'm four generations of women in business. So entrepreneurship runs in my blood. So it was really fun. It was a lot of work up front that I didn't realize I would be the director, the producer, the writer, the creative, the social media, like the marketing, all of it behind a business. But I'm learning so much and I'm loving that. So the business is edgy statement jewelry that can be dressed up or down. It's very confidence driven. So I'm excited about what's to come with Headline. You can find Headline at www.headlinebymm.com and on social media at HeadlineByMM.
All right. Shark Tank. Here Mackenzie comes.
I know, right? That would be cool. That'd be so awesome. I've got some really fun pieces that are coming out for February. And I made a custom piece for someone. So I'm really excited to see how that works out as well.
All right. We'll be looking for that. So obviously you lived all over the place. And a few years ago, I had to go on a business trip to Missouri. I was in St. Louis. It was in the summer. And it was just like brutally hot. And obviously Orlando, it's just so disgusting in the summer. So curious your thoughts on which summer weather is the least unbearable between Orlando or Los Angeles as well and Missouri?
Well, of course, Los Angeles. I mean, it's like a different kind of heat. It's beautiful. It's funny because you'd always see on movies that these like, or like in the news that celebrities would go in throughout the day and wear a tank top, but then at night they'd have this like fur jacket. You're like, how does that work? Well, then when you live in LA, you realize it's a different kind of, it's different weather. So you can, it gets chilly at night. Orlando is just brutally hot in the summer. I mean, you just kind of adapt to it and you just realize that this is what it is. I've kind of became accustomed to it now living here for 3 years. So for me, I like the heat. I love being in the warm weather. We have a pool in the backyard. We're able just to jump in the pool if it gets too hot. But Missouri is like, it's sticky. It can get really sticky and humid as well. I think the thing that people don't realize about Missouri is you get the hottest of hots, but you also get the coldest of cold. So you get like every season, which is a great thing if you're into fall and seeing all the different seasons. But I don't know. I think I'd have to prefer Los Angeles, obviously. And second would come into Orlando.
All right. Fair enough ranking. I know Joe has plenty of time spent in Orlando and on the West Coast. He loves the desert heat in Vegas as well. So.
Oh yeah, right. Arizona
I'm a West
too.
Coast guy. Yeah,
I would say the worst weather that places you live has got to be Connecticut. I mean, the Northeast is just brutal in the winter.
Oh, I know, and I never really gave it a fair shake because I was in Connecticut for all of 6 months, and then the pandemic hit. And so I was there from August through March. So I got the worst weather of the winter.
Yeah.
So I never really got to see the pretty like summers and springs. So I never really got to give it a fair shake, but
yeah.
I agree with that. I'm going up to the Northeast a lot in the next couple months. And so I've got my winter jacket prepared.
Bundle up. That's for sure. Nothing like a Northeast summer, but the Northeast rest of the year, not great.
Right. Totally.
So Mackenzie, in your life or your career, what would you say is your, you know, I'm right moment? When by that is it's a time or place where you wanted to pursue something. You asked somebody for advice. They said, Mackenzie, that's an awful idea. Don't do it. And you were like, you know what? I'm going to do it anyway. And in the end, you ultimately see why it is that I'm right about this.
Well, I have two, actually. I think starting my business was something that, you know, there's hardships when you're starting a business. You have an idea, you're trying to make it happen. How much money is being invested? How much time? But I think when you get to see it in the long run and you get to see how the website's progressed and where you were from the beginning and where you are now, it's such a worthy moment that you're like, gosh, this is, it's all worth it. It's valuable. And I think too, my second thing is where I'm at now with the show that I'm coming out with. It was an idea I pitched for 4 years and it never did anything. And I'm very passionate about this because it is something that makes sense for me in the professional wrestling world, that I may not be all about the analytics and the moves and how something feels in the ring, but this side of the show, I think, makes sense for who I am as a character, and who I am in the business. And so I'm really excited to see the response from that. I may turn around and go like, oh, you guys didn't really care about it, but we're going to say, you know, I'm right. I'm hoping you guys say, you know, I'm right. And I'm able to take this idea and it'd be really cool.
Absolutely. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Mackenzie, we wish you the best of luck with everything moving forward. We thank you for your time. I have one last question. Nick loves when I ask this question. He puts it on the rundown. So,
okay, here we go.
Okay. So I tend to be, we'll say, the more spiritual person of the two. And believe it or not, I actually, like, I'm into astrology and all that odd stuff, right? So he loves when I ask this question. So we're going to ask you what your zodiac sign is, but we have to guess it first, then you could tell us. All right?
Okay.
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 So Nick is actually very good at doing this. He's actually guessed the last three or four in a row correctly, right? So first I want to pick Nick's brain here. Nick, what do you think she might be?
Well, we need to realize, Mackenzie,
he's the only guy.
I have very limited knowledge of the signs. So I can maybe name like three or four off the top of my head. So I just got to pick from them. So I don't know. I'm just going to throw it out there, Joe, and I'm going to say Pisces, but I have no idea.
I was going to say something similar because you mentioned Mandy Rose before, right? So she has like that soft disposition to her. She likes to like take care of people, like to cook and to do like the jewelry and stuff. And you said something about making like private something, like a private bracelet or something for a friend. So Mandy, I know, is a Cancer, right? So I was going to say either Cancer or Pisces. So you said Pisces. I'll say Cancer.
So I am a Pisces. Did you guys look at my birthday before we went on here?
I have no idea what your birthday is. I don't even know what
up,
month of
yes.
I have no idea what month of Pisces would be. Is it March?
Yes.
No clue.
It's in March. Yes.
It's late February and March.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
No. So I when I do the research, sometimes birthdays come up. In this case, we didn't guess this time. So in the past, I wasn't able to guess because I'll tell Nick like, yeah, I know her birthday or I know his birthday. So Nick is always the one who guesses, and he always guesses Sagittarius right for some reason. So
the
I can't.
Zodiac whisper. I don't know.
He's a zodiac whisper.
So what does this mean, Joe? Mackenzie's a Pisces. So what does that
I
mean?
I am. Tell me. Inform me. Educate me here.
Pisces are very dreamy people, right? They, again, they're a water sign, right? But I say this all the time. There are three types of signs, right? So it's like your cardinal, you're fixed, you're mutable, right? So you're a mutable water sign. So not only do you have that soft, watery type of disposition that water signs do, but it's like you are more prone to just like kind of going with the flow of everything, right? So as you can see, you went from Missouri to Mississippi, right? And then from Mississippi, you've gone to LA, to Nashville, to Orlando, to Connecticut. Now you don't know where you're going necessarily, right? But it's like mutable signs kind of have a, they're more prone to, again, just like kind of going with the flow. And in your case, it's brought you that travel aspect, that the aspect of living in different places for your career, right? And again, very, very dreamy people. You know, I don't know if you've ever been, or you ever had strength in dreams and stuff, but typically the intuition of water signs people tend to be elevated and higher than everybody else.
Absolutely.
But in the Pisces case, it's like dialed up to 100.
Wow.
So if you've ever felt,
I guess the shoe fits.
Right. And
my mom always says, listen to your gut. And I have a very good one. I have a very, very good intuition that tells me something's right. If the vibe's off, who people are, I'm very good at that.
I think you, in this case, would also apply to your husband too, right? Because as soon as you saw your husband, you're like, something's different about
I
him.
I knew it. Yep. 100%.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Mackenzie,
wow, well, that's cool.
Isn't Joe great at this like zodiac stuff? I kind of
you found your next venture.
Yeah, I think he's gonna do Zodiacs by JC, and that'll be his thing. Mackenzie, last thing here, what's your favorite reality TV show?
Oh, well, I'm loving Southern Charm on Bravo.
All right.
I started watching it, I've like watched all what 9 seasons of it.
Wow.
My husband was like, this is the worst reality show I think I've ever watched in my life. Turn this off. I can't join in and watch you. Now he's in this past season, season 9. I think it's been the best. I love it.
It's because of Paige DeSorbo, you know, coming down.
Yeah, I love Paige. I love Paige. And Vic really loves Craig. He's like, that's my guy.
Right.
Yeah, so Southern Charm it is for me.
All right, maybe Craig and Paige could be on your future show, you know?
That would be great. I would love that.
What do you think, Joe?
No, I totally agree. We've had former Bravo stars on with us too, as well. We've had a lot of reality TV people on with us. So, but anyway, Mackenzie, we thank you again for your time. Like I said before, this was a lot of fun. We wish you the best of luck moving forward. We wish you a happy new year. Hopefully the launch of everything goes smoothly. We wish you the best of luck with your business. And what we do here is we always give our guests the last word. So, personally, if there's anything else you would like to share or promote for yourself, by all means, go ahead. And again, happy new year. We thank you again for doing this with us.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate you guys having me on. Just want to say how thankful I am for all the fans and support and love that I've gotten across the world since my release. I think I'm still getting messages, and it's been over a month. And so to feel and see that impact that I've had on people in Australia and Mexico and Canada, I mean, Ireland, everywhere, it just means so much to me, because it means that the little part that I had on TV affected their opinion and their experience as a fan watching a television show. So I'm just so thankful for that, and all the support and love I've continued to get.
Very nicely said. That's going to do it here for this episode of You Know I'm Right. For our special guest, Mackenzie Mitchell, my co-host, Joe Calabrese. I'm Nick Durst, and this has been You Know I'm Right.